Welcome to the Beyond Sunday at WMPC podcast. This summer, we invite you to join us as we explore things we wish Jesus had not said. In the final week of this six-week series, we will tackle the parable of the landowner. We hope you'll listen as Pastor Christopher Edmonston and Director of Family Ministry Genevieve Brooks explore Matthew 20, 1 to 16.
Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast here from White Memorial Presbyterian Church. I'm Christopher Edmonston, the pastor and head of staff, and today I'm joined on this episode of our Summer 2025 series by Genevieve Brooks, who's our Director of Family Ministries. Hey, Genevieve.
Hi, Christopher. How are you doing?
I'm good today. Thank you. We've got a good text, but before we get to that text, just reminding folks that our summer series for this summer is Things We Wish Jesus Hadn't Said. And these are those things where Jesus' words challenge us, demand much from us. Maybe they needle us. Maybe they go in a direction that we don't think Jesus usually goes in or we don't want him to go. They shock us. They surprise us. Today we're going to get one of those where there's like a great reversal and we get one of the times in the Bible where Jesus says, many who are first will be last and many who are last will be first. So we're going to look at that today. Here in Matthew chapter 20. So you don't tell anybody about Matthew 20 before I read the text, or do you want me to just jump in and start reading?
Well, I'll just say this is the landowner. So some people get paid for working in a vineyard, but they get paid the same. And some people have some feelings about it. So,
no matter what job they did or how long they worked, everybody got paid the same.
Everybody got paid the same.
Okay. And not everybody's happy with that in the end.
Doesn't sound like it.
No,
but tell us.
So it's a little bit of a long text, and I would encourage you all when you come to these podcasts, if we're doing a biblical text, to have your Bible handy so you can read along and you can reference the verses that we're talking about. But this is Matthew 20, and we start at verse 1, and we'll end at 16. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to them, 'To him, because no one has hired us.' And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'Well, the last only worked 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last."
Ooh.
I mean, I've never worked in a vineyard. Have you?
No,
but
I'm not.
When I think about what I think is fair in jobs that I've done, I don't think I'd be the guy that's happy at the end of the day. I think I'd be the guy grumbling.
For sure. Me too.
That word grumble comes up a lot in the New Testament, and it means gossipy. It means people like making eyes. I wish y'all could see Genevieve's eyes right now. She's like making eyes, you know, nose crunched
up. Sneer.
Like, can you believe this guy? That's what grumbling means. They're sort of complaining not only with their words, but their body language. And I think I'd be that guy.
Yeah, me too. I really do.
It's a hard parable, and I think the traditional interpretation, of course, is that God is the landowner, or represents the landowner, the one who's in charge of the vineyard, the thing and the place that needs to be harvested. And of course, the laborers in the vineyard are
us,
all of us.
The followers.
All the followers, waiting around, basically, to get you know, charged by God, called by God, assigned by God, something to do in the kingdom of God. Remember, like, nearly all the parables in Matthew, probably not all. Matthew's not my place of expertise. I'm better in Luke. But I think it's pretty accurate to say nearly all the parables in Matthew begin exactly like ours begins, with the phrase, "for the kingdom of heaven is like," with this simile that happens. And so we're waiting to get our assigned roles and our assigned task in the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. And that's the work that we've got to do. The traditional interpretation is that the landowner, or that God, the divine spirit, will keep going to find new people to work, to work in the vineyard, to work in the kingdom. That there's never enough workers for the kingdom of God. Bringing to mind those things, you know, for the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few.
Yeah.
Right, which is not something said here, but something that Jesus says other places. And so that God will keep going out to find those over and over again. It's one thing to note, too, along that traditional thing, is that there's a Levitical law. Again, I'm not an expert on it by any means. According to my study Bible here, though, it's Leviticus 19. You have to pay your laborers on the day that they worked, according to the law of God, the law of Moses. Like, you can't shortchange your workers. Yeah. This comes up different places. Like, if you remember our James Bible study, this is one of the things that James accuses the people around him of doing, is shortchanging workers, which is a major violation of what people are supposed to be doing as they follow God. And so that's why at the end of the day, they get their wage paid to them.
Yeah.
The reversal starts when, of course, the landowner says, call the ones who got here last first and pay them first.
Yeah.
And a daily wage then meant enough money to feed your family for a day.
Yeah.
You know, the King James Bible, which I brought because I think there's an interesting translation here, calls it a penny. But here it's just the agreed upon wage.
Okay.
And so the last workers get paid first, and of course the first workers get paid last, and already we've got that thing being upset to them, and they grumble, which I think I would. And their grumble, I think, is perfectly justifiable.
Tell me more.
Well, the last worked only 1 hour, and you made them equally paid with us, who have borne the labor and the heat all day.
Yeah.
I mean, that is exactly how I think every person would feel. I mean, can you imagine?
No.
I just can't imagine feeling any other way.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. They are perfectly justifiable as human beings.
Right.
Maybe they're not seeing the big picture, and Jesus is always calling us to see the big picture.
Well, I'm pointing out how different the kingdom of God is than how we have to live our lives, how our economy works, and how the economy worked clearly in Jesus' day as well.
Right, right. So I think it's the podcast before this one, we get the rich young man in Matthew who can't let go of his possessions. And what's interesting is here we are in Luke 20. That rich young man is not that far away, right? He's not that far away here in Matthew's gospel. He's still in our mind. And we get a guy who is too greedy in that parable, and now we get a landowner who is maybe even too generous.
Ooh, too generous,
right?
Yeah.
And so you get that counterplay between the two. Because again, what's the rich young man's question? Teacher, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? We get the parable, for the kingdom of heaven is like this is the way that Matthew's playing with economies, with what a day's wage should be, with how labor gets done in the vineyard, with generosity and greed. This is exactly the playground that Matthew has set up for us. And it's the way he tells his Jesus story. He wants us to really remember this parable. There's something that's very important to Matthew that we remember, that Jesus said these things. So the grumbling happens, and he calls him friend.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Know, not worker.
Right.
Not, you know, who are you to question me?
Right.
Right? You day laborer.
Yeah.
You know, we might want to talk about that some too. Are there still day laborers like this in the world? But friend, I'm doing you no wrong. We had an agreement for the usual daily wage, right? Take what belongs to you and go. It's yours. I'm the one who chooses to give to the last as the same as I gave to you. And then the rhetorical questions Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?
Yeah. Are you envious because I'm generous?
Are you envious? And this is what the King James says. And I have no idea why it says this. And had I not looked in a commentary on Matthew, I wouldn't have known this. But this is verse 15 here in the King James, right? Are you envious because I am generous? And it says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good?
Ooh.
Are you envious because I'm generous? And the King James says, or do you see evil with your eye where I am doing good?
Wow.
Like, who's the one whose perspective needs to be changed?
Yeah.
Because the laborers that worked all day want the landowner's perspective to be changed and see that they are worth more.
Right.
And the landowner says, no, I value you the same.
Yeah.
So why is it that you can't see it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you envious because I am generous, or is there something wrong with your eye?
Yeah. And it feels so controversial because it feels like this could be used to justify laziness.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I guarantee you, in the history of preaching, that's exactly how this has been preached before.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. I think sometimes, too, again, when we read texts like this, we may have a hard time connecting ourselves to them, and I think we have to try.
Yeah.
We have to try. I think for people who are used to working hard for whatever salary they negotiate or whatever their pay is, it's hard for us to identify with this because, you know, the employee policy at whatever company
tell
we
us,
work
boss
at,
man. Yeah, tell us, head of staff, Christopher Edmonston.
Here at Wyatt Memorial, we have equity across the different structures of pay scales and the different staging of our
Thank
employee.
You.
Look,
yes.
We actually have an employee handbook.
Yeah, we do.
By which salaries are determined, right? And by which we value even our folks that work on the hourly rate here, punch the clock. And that's going to be true everywhere in this county for equal employment opportunity reasons and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's really hard to identify with things like this, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me think of the term scandalous grace.
Yeah.
That this grace is almost offensive.
Yeah.
To the people that are receiving, well, to the people that are getting what was promised to them.
They got just
they
as
got
much.
The fair wage that was negotiated. Right. But yeah, they watched. I also think it's interesting the difference between with expectations. So they had an expectation, I'm going to get paid this much. But then their expectations change when they watch the landowner give the last people their salary first. If the landowner had paid the people that had been there all day first and they'd have gone on because they got their wage and moved on, they'd have not known any different.
Which is why that translation is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Is your eye evil? Like, what's one of the seven deadly sins is envy.
That's right.
Right? We are always looking out, you know? You pull up at the stoplight, and I don't know, you and I both drive minivans sometimes, and mine's pretty good.
Yeah.
But there's nicer ones now.
Yeah.
To say nothing, like, I was in the minivan the other day, and a guy pulled up next to me on Glenwood, like, in a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
I was like... You know, and the first thing in my head is, what did I do wrong in my life?
Right, right.
You know, and maybe that guy's the biggest scumbag in the world. I don't know who he was. He was a guy in a Lamborghini by Crabtree Mall. So, you know, I think that it's just really good to remember that we got to try to insert ourselves in it. And even beyond the minivans, like, one of the ways I preached this years ago was to talk about, and we'll make up a fictional little girl. Let's call her Genevieve. Let's call her Genevieve. And she, every Sunday morning, goes to church with her white dress on and her white Mary Janes. And
The Mary Janes.
Her white frilly socks.
Yes. I can picture it.
Not like my daughter ever dressed for church.
Right.
Genevieve's perfect.
Yeah.
She's perfect. And follows all the rules.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, only dates the nice kind of boys in high school. Mm-hmm. Never gets in any trouble.
No trouble.
Like goes to church every Sunday, Bible study her whole life.
Ooh, yeah.
And her life ends. And in heaven, it turns out she's in line with a guy who defrauded his business partners, robbed, cheated, stealed, was unfaithful, did all the things wrong that you could do. No one trusted this man at all. And at the end of his life, with an hour to spare, confesses his sins and gets baptized.
And they're up there together.
And you're up there together.
Yeah.
Because grace works like that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I just think we have a hard time in the way that we conceive of with fairness.
Yeah.
And what fairness is, to think that that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
And yet that's the way it is. Scandalous grace.
Yeah.
Grace abundant, grace abounding.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, this is all about grace.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a reversal. You know, it's called a logion.
Oh, yeah.
It's a summative statement at the end of a parable, but a reversal. So you understand, folks, that sometimes the first are going to be last and the last are going to be first.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work the way that you expect all the time. But you're still going to get what you were, you're still going to get what was promised.
Right.
But it may not come the way that you think it ought to be delivered.
Yeah. In the kingdom.
In the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven
is like. Yeah.
For the kingdom of heaven is like. That's the way it works in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
Which is contradictory and almost counterposed. That's not a word. Almost on like counterpoint to the way it works in our world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my coworker Bailey Morton did the Princeton certificate in youth and theology, and shared a lecture with me by Dr. Eric Barreto. And he's a professor of New Testament at Princeton. And he has this great lecture about why our stories are important as we read scripture. And he comes from a background where there are day laborers in our culture, in our city, in our county, and how from the perspective of day laborers that this is about justice. This scripture, hearing the scripture, is about workers who have been waiting for work in the marketplace all day, hoping to get a day's wage to feed their families. Is it their fault that there is no work? Right? The landowner comes, they're standing there. They didn't leave the marketplace to go do whatever. They're waiting for work. They want work.
They didn't give up. They were still waiting for the opportunity.
Right. Waiting for the opportunity. And that God's justice is about providing what we need. That in God's kingdom, God does provide what we need.
And I certainly what the landowner does, right?
Yeah.
He just keeps providing.
Right. And that it is gracious, and it's not equal, that it is God is providing what we need, which I thought was a really interesting lens, because that certainly we do have day laborers among us. And so
we do. I wonder how many of the listeners have seen them. I don't know where they gather in Raleigh, but there's got to be a place.
Mm-hmm.
I've certainly seen them in other American cities, and in a previous life, back when I was in Tarboro, I've only been to Honduras once since I've been at White Memorial these last 13 years, Latin America once. But in a previous life, when I was in Charlotte and Tarboro, I went to Latin America all the time, like all the time. And there are lots of day laborers there, people that are just waiting, usually around the marketplace, always men for whatever reason, the ones I've seen, to hope that somebody will swing a pickup truck by and say, I'll pay you this amount to come help me, you know, pick my crops today, or to help me pour cement.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, this is part of the economy of the world today still.
Yeah. There's also on TikTok some videos of folks going to places where day laborers are, and kind of in the goodness of humanity thread or lane, take them to Disney World. Are like, I need four guys. I'll pay you $100 to spend the day. They're like, okay, or however much. And then they go to Disney World and kind of, you know, it's for TikTok. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things we could say about that. But
yeah. I'm not on TikTok. Is it good?
Honestly, those few videos have brought me a little bit of joy of like, oh, that is, there is some goodness in humanity. That is lovely. But there's a lot of bad things on TikTok too.
It's true. I mean, like the ones that I'm aware of are like YouTube shorts, and there's a guy, and I wonder how he gets funded, but he goes to the grocery store and usually finds like the saddest, oldest couple in there, like struggling, and he buys their groceries and then some, you know?
Yeah.
And the way they react is just really profound.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that intentional acts of generosity count in the world.
Mm.
And I do think, to the Eric Beretta, who I've taken like a seminar with Eric before, kind of like Bailey did. He's a very, very good teacher, good scholar. I think he's got a new book coming out too, maybe on the Book of Acts, I think. But Eric, to his point that justice looks like continuing to give people opportunities and not stopping, like the landowner here. I think even to that point, whenever we see a true generosity of spirit, giving someone an opportunity that they didn't expect, or sharing something with them that they didn't expect to receive, I think we should notice those moments, whether they're on TikTok or not. And I really think we should pay attention to that because God knows the world needs needs more of that, needs more open hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think it's an interesting question of what does it mean for us as Christians, as people that are following Jesus, as people that are trying to build the kingdom? What does it mean if the kingdom of heaven is not merit-based?
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean for us?
On my list this summer to read is a book called The Tyranny of Merit.
Mm.
And I'm really excited to read it. I've had it a couple of years, and it keeps getting knocked down. I keep getting busy doing job searches and stuff around here. But I'm really looking forward to read that. We, you know, it's a huge question, particularly for Western cultures, for people, say, from, you know, English-speaking cultures, the UK, the United States, Canada, like, where does grace end and merit begin, merit end and grace begin? Because, you know, I don't want my doctor to, like, woken up on Tuesday before my heart surgery and say, hey, guess what?
Right.
I'll be a heart surgeon today. You should give me the scalpel because I, you know, it's only fair to give me a shot. That would be...
No, thank you.
No, that's bad.
Yeah.
So, like, you should have passed medical school and done some surgery. So merit does really count for things. But should it count for as much as we give it credit for? It's a great question.
Yeah.
Because that's essentially the argument, right? I've been out here all day from the parable itself, right? It's verse 12. We've been here all day busting our backs and like burnt, getting sunburned.
Mm-hmm.
And what?
Yeah.
And you gave them the same. I mean, right. So we've deserved more because we did more.
Yeah. Well, and where do we equate effort with worth? Where do we equate seniority with worth? Like, who's been doing this the longest? Who should get the leadership position? Who should get to make the decision? Is it always the person that's been on session the longest? Is it always the person that's been here? I don't know.
I mean, I've been here a long time now.
We love our people that have been on session a really long time.
I do too.
To be clear.
To be clear. You know, one of the things, this is not related so much to the text, but, you know, I do suffer from what I call decision fatigue. Like, it does not upset me when other elders take something and say, I have a passion for this.
Yeah.
Can I decide what we're going to do? I actually really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And other staff people as well, too. Because I'm not an expert in all the areas of everything in this church. Like, I really do need the help. I really do need the help. Just like, you know, obviously, if you were actually a landowner and you had a vineyard and it's time to pick the grapes, you actually do need the help.
Yeah.
You know, you do need the help. So this is, again, this relationship between an economy and an economic parable that the people can understand, and Jesus flipping it on its head one more time, challenging our understanding of what's fair. And I think we do get bent out of shape when things don't seem fair. And that's why I think there are probably people that read this and say, you know, I understand why Jesus said that, but I kind of wish.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of wish he hadn't.
Yeah.
I kind of wish he hadn't.
Mm-hmm. I know it does make me think, I mean, as I was thinking about it coming over here, what groups of people do I subconsciously believe are less deserving of God's grace? Because I can certainly think of some people.
Yeah. But that's why when you're listening to this whole podcast series, you got to go back to the first one, which is you've heard it said before, hate your enemies and love your neighbors, but I tell you to love your enemies and pray for them.
Yeah.
Back to this hard, but yes, we all can do it. We all can list make.
Yeah,
I can take some names, man.
Yeah. It also seems like, y'all, it's an examination of our own hearts, and that does really matter of what the state of our heart is. the grumbling. He could have, Jesus could have left that out.
But he didn't.
But he didn't.
Right. And you get these two just, I mean, I'm just listeners, whenever Jesus asks a rhetorical question, basically he's asking you to answer it for yourself. It's like he's put the spotlight on you, right? And there's two. It's verse 15, two back to back. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with the grace that belongs to me?
Yeah.
Question mark. And then two, or are you envious because I'm generous to other people?
Yeah.
And the truth is that we probably are.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, on that happy note.
Yeah. happy summer, everybody.
Happy summer, everybody. Thanks for listening to our podcast today. It's been a pleasure to lead this one with Genevieve. And we hope and we pray that you find these meaningful and share them with friends and family that need to learn alongside.
And so, if you've got any other ideas about podcasts we should consider, please send the ideas our way. We're always looking for new ideas because it's so fun. Thanks, Christopher.
Thanks, Genevieve. Great. God bless y'all.